You're listening to Sounds Good. It's your midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross, and I'm pleased to be joined in the studio this morning by Constance Alexander and Drew Thompson. They are going to be discussing All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren tonight at 6:30 at Market House Theater. It's part of the, is it the Big Read this year, or is it a different thing that
the NEH is doing?
Well,
it's part of Democracy and the Informed Citizen is the name of the program, and it's through the Kentucky Humanities Council. They received a grant from the Mellon Foundation, and so have instituted this statewide reading of the same book.
So Robert Penn Warren, a very famous writer from Kentucky, and All the King's Men, set in Louisiana. Is that right, Drew?
Correct, yes. It's loosely based on the rise and ascendancy and fall of Governor Huey P. Long of Louisiana, powerful figure in that state, a transformative figure, has been called in after he left office due to assassination as having been the closest thing we've ever gotten to an American fascist dictator. Which is funny when you think about it, because he rode to prominence on, you know, a groundswell of support from the people.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the words that comes up frequently when you talk about this novel is the word demagogue. And I have a definition from H.L. Mencken, the humorist and journalist from early in the 20th century. The demagogue is one who preaches doctrines he knows to be untrue to men he knows to be idiots. And it's a really cynical, of course, from H.L. Mencken, what else would you expect? But the interesting thing about the character in the book, All the King's Men, who's based on Huey Long, is that apparently he starts out with good motives and trying to do good things for the people of his community, and then he gets up to the statewide level, and there's even talk of him running for president.
But he confronts the entrenched political machines who sort of exist for their own self-perpetuation and becomes disillusioned.
Yeah. He starts enjoying his own story and his own power.
Now, he wanted to change the machine, and the machine ended up changing him, right?
I mean, Yeah, and I read this morning, in fact, there's so much to read about this book, so it's going to be a great community discussion tonight in Paducah and then next Monday in Murray. In Louisiana, at the time of Huey Long, students at LSU were being subsidized by the state. There was all kinds of corruption happening. A lot of people were getting paid. Now, the flip side of that is that people were getting an education, and people who hadn't had opportunities were afforded opportunities. But somehow that made a turn and ended up in tragedy of a number of sorts.
And Drew, you were at LSU, right?
Correct.
So how is this book viewed there?
It's interesting. Obviously, it's inseparable from Long. Governor Long's fingerprints are all over the state and all over the city of Baton Rouge. The state capitol, which is the tallest state capitol in the United States, is one he built and very much has his fingerprint on. There's an enormous statue of him out front, something you don't normally see, the kind of statue you would see like in Italy or in other countries that have had authoritarian rulers. Bridges in Baton Rouge still bear his name, and other things. It's funny because he's viewed as a criminal by many, and yet even those who say it say if he ran tomorrow, he'd get elected again.
Yeah.
Louisiana has a long history of populism and loving populist governors. I mean, from Long to Edwin Edwards, in many ways, their current governor, John Bel Edwards, embodies some of the classic populist values of controlling people to government, infrastructure projects, government, you know, doing for people what they cannot do for themselves.
Yeah, which brings up another definition of a demagogue. Populism is the other word that you often hear associated with All the King's Men and with Huey Long. This is a definition by Karl Kraus, who was a philosopher and from Germany. The secret of the demagogue is to appear as dumb as his audience so that these people can believe themselves as smart as he, which again is a very cynical kind of definition. And some of that cynicism runs through the book, but also there's goodwill that runs through the book, and people are hoping to do good things and doing the right thing. In fact, the book, the opening of the book, has an epigraph. And I hate it when an epigraph is in a foreign language, so I don't have any clue. But the epigraph is from the Divine Comedy, Dante's great work, and it's from Purgatory, which I think is interesting. You know, you can either go up or down when you're in Purgatory. And the quote there, and I won't try to read it in Italian since I took German, as long as hope maintains a thread of green is the quote that begins this book. And it's part of a longer phrase, by such a curse as theirs, none is so lost that the eternal love cannot return as long as hope maintains a thread of green. So as cynical as some sections of the book can be, and some of the characters, and some of the events, which are tragic and certainly constructed by the people who are around Willie Stark, the main character. But there is always hope. So,
Drew, you said something earlier about how Louisiana often is drawn to populist political figures. Is that something you think is inherent in the people or the state, or is it just the charisma of each of the individual politicians?
A little of both. Louisiana has a history of very outlandish politicians. Charisma carries a lot of value, a lot of currency in that state. But I don't think Louisiana's alone in that. I think that we see populist politicians in a lot of states. Kentucky has had a couple of forays into it. But the Louisiana only got interstates in the 1960s and 70s. A lot of Louisiana was very isolated and very much a backwater, mm-hmm. and thought of itself very much that way. And at the same time, Louisiana was sort of controlled by the power center of New Orleans, which is so far away from the rest of the state that a politician like Long, who comes from Morgan City, come from sort of a backwater community and knows how to speak in the vernacular of the people, he knows how to align himself with what they need and give it to them, is so powerful. And mm-hmm. Long and Stark in the novel, we sort of identify these figures with a bit of cynicism, but Warren is careful to make sure that he expresses that Willie Stark, at least, believes what he's saying, and that he believes that the standard by which he judges his political ends is consistent, that because it is meeting the needs of the people, and that is sort of how he redefines justice, is his ability to meet the needs of the people.
Yeah.
And that changes, and his vision of justice changes. Justice
Absolutely.
Becomes whatever he says it is in the moment.
Yeah. The book has a lot to say, not just about politics, but about journalism. The narrator of the book is a journalist who has gone over to the other side to become a PR person, but also a person who knows how to do research and dig up information on other people, that sort of thing. So that's another point of discussion about the book. It's also a love story. It's also a really interesting, there's a whole section that's a bit of Southern history, which is also fascinating. So there's a lot in the book, and the purpose of bringing people together for these kinds of discussions is to get them to look at one thing. Instead of looking at each other and pointing fingers, we start with a work of literature like All the King's Men.
How does All the King's Men work just as a work of literature separated from its subject matter? Is it a well-written book, compelling?
I think it is, but it is really long. And some people, I don't have a PhD in American literature, so sometimes maybe my standards are different. It is a long book, but it's the kind of book, as I was rereading it, I read it in high school, I think, as far as I can recall, or else I've read a really good Cliff's Notes version of it, perhaps, I'm not sure. But in rereading it again, I'd find myself telling my husband, oh, you've got to listen to this. You know, it's so beautifully written and so evocative with some of the things that he is saying and poetic, actually, that you want to read it out loud. It's funny also. Some of the ways he describes people are incredible. In fact, there's a woman, there's adultery in this too. I mean, there's a little bit of everything in the book, but there's a description of a woman who Willie Stark, the main character, she is his mistress, but only a sometime mistress. And the quote is about, "She made her way in the world up from the shack in the mud flat by always finding out what you knew and never letting you know what she knew. Her style was not to lead with the chin, but with a neat length of lead pipe after you had stepped off balance." And then he goes on to describe how she looked, this woman, Sadie. Great name, Sadie. Her way of moving was quick and nervous. In one scene, she's wearing, and this is a quote, "a shapeless, shoddy blue summer suit she must have got by walking into a secondhand store and shuffling her eyes and pointing and saying, 'I'll take that.'" So, you know, there is a biting sense of humor in some of the book, and it makes each character come alive, even characters who don't play a leading role throughout the film. And I've never seen the film. There are two films that have been made of this book, and also a play. And tonight at the Market House Theater at 6:30, that discussion will begin with readings from different scenes of the play to kind of get the discussion started.
What types of conversation do you expect to happen tonight?
I don't know. It could go.
Do you think the panel is prepared for it to go any number of directions?
I think so. The panel consists of three people. I'm the moderator of the panel, but there are three experts. One is a judge, so he has, you know, understanding of political kinds of things, a journalist, and then a historian. So those three people will be there. And then the audience, of course, will have people who have various experiences and backgrounds. So I think the discussion could go a lot of different places.
And Drew, why do you think it's important for someone to read this book today? Are there any parallels that we can make between then and now?
Well, one of the things that I think is important to my interpretation of the novel is that obviously we can see an example of a politician who gets, you know, unlimited power and is thus corrupted by it. But we've got lots of examples of that. I find this novel compelling because it illustrates through the interplay of the character of Governor Stark and the main character, the narrator, Jack Burden, who Warren in a letter said is sort of the refractory lens that he uses to sort of explore the rise of Stark. We can see how a certain type of government, the way it impacts the ways of life of its citizens. In other words, Jack is a product of the kind of government that would create a Willie Stark. And there we can learn about ourselves. I think the book is more a comment on sort of late democracy and the challenge of balancing our ideals with our need for getting what we need, more so than it is simply a caution against would-be dictators. That's my take anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the values of this book for a read that's being done throughout the state is that it allows us to come together and discuss controversial issues and ideas with civil discourse. And I found a wonderful quote from the Rural Blog, and it's by a woman who is head of the Rural Assembly. And one of the things she says in this quote is that in rural communities, particularly where we live together, we see each other, we go to church together, or we worship together, go to PTA, etc., that sometimes discourse of controversial things doesn't happen. But what this Joe Carson says is that the regular practice of participation is what characterizes our relationships. And that gives us the ability to live and work and worship together in spite of disagreements. It helps us understand the tangles of partisanship, too. It's hard to dismiss someone when you expect to see them the next day and the day after that and the day after that. And I think that's the essence of having a community read, and certainly starting with All the King's Men by one of the most celebrated writers, not just in Kentucky or in America, but known around the world, who won the Pulitzer Prize for poetry and fiction, which to me is the pinnacle of achievement. So he's given us a lot. As it says, there's a quote in the book, and he says, these people are town from the waist up and country from the waist down. Get both votes.
Amen. Constance Drew, thank you so much for coming by and talking about this fascinating book.
Thank you very much.
Democracy Thanks. And the Informed Citizen is happening tonight at 6:30 at Market House Theater in Paducah.